Hello everyone. You're very welcome along on this latest audio walk from Open Country with me, Tom. You join me on a sunny but blustery springtime day in the heart of the Nidderdale National Landscape. We're about a mile from the iconic town of Pateley Bridge, a little village known as Glasshouses. Our walk today is going to take us on a rural wander through this wonderful part of the country. We'll be heading out over the farmland into a woodland hidden in plain sight and end up on the wild moors, encountering interesting wildlife, amazing springtime scenes, smells and sounds, and even an intriguing folly. So let's put our best foot forward and explore Guy's Cliff Wood and naught more. From the banks of the River Nid, in a relatively sheltered Greenhow village, the path has already started to climb as we head up towards naught more. We're currently walking through open farmland, which at the moment is dotted with the white blobs of sheep and their lambs grazing the lush grasses that are starting to grow in the springtime sunshine. As I look to my left, I can see down the Nid Valley as the River Nid itself winds its way down towards Ripley and out towards the flatter lands of North Yorkshire. As I look to my right, I can see up the Nid Valley, where the looming hills, some of them cast with cloud, others glinting in the sun, is tempting me further and further up into the hills and the wilds of this magnificent part of North Yorkshire. As you may be able to hear in the background, the breeze is definitely picking up, so I'm going to head up this path even further towards the shelter of the trees of the hidden but glamorously placed in plain sight Guy's Cliff Wood. We've left the farmland now and we're entering into this vast swathe of woodland. The atmosphere has completely changed. From being able to hear sheep and lambs bleating in the surrounding fields and the odd car passing by on a nearby road, or maybe some machinery operating in a nearby farmyard, we've been met with comparative silence. Apart from the springtime audible glow of the birds tweeting and tittering in the trees above me. After climbing what's been quite a steep path to this point, up through the wood, I feel like I've wandered into my own private paradise. As well as providing me with a chance to get my breath back, I'm also revelling in my surroundings as I've come to the banks of Guy's Cliff Tarn. When you're walking up a sheer hillside, you don't necessarily often think that you're going to come across a reasonably large body of water, but yet here we are. It's rather overgrown in places, especially around the banks, with trees that have fallen that look like they're reaching out towards the centre of the water. but the banks are just clad in green, whether it's moss or fresh springtime growth, and that's reflecting off the surface of the water. And as well as the blue sky, it's making a cornucopia of springtime delights. There's a pair of tufted ducks that I can just see dabbling around in the undergrowth at the side of the lake. What a wonderful home they have. It really is spectacular and so, so peaceful. I have been led to believe that this is a popular spot amongst wild swimmers. If I was so inclined to take a dip, I probably would, but unfortunately I haven't brought the correct clothing with me today. I'm just watching the sun reflecting off the surface of the water and creating a wonderful light pattern on one of the moss-clad branches of this oak tree that is reaching out from the bank of the tarn out towards the centre of it. The more you stand in a location like this or sit and contemplate, the more that strikes you, the more beauty that pops out. It really is idyllic. I'm making my way deeper and deeper and further up through this glorious pocket of woodland. It definitely helps that the sky is blue overhead, which is catching the new growth on these silver birch trees that are surrounding me and just making them glow an iridescent, vibrant light green. That green is echoed all around by the moss that is encrusting all of the rocks that are scattered across the hillside, and the grass that are growing on the lower level rocks as well. It almost feels like a fairy tale lair that I've walked into. But there's also the evidence of the power of nature as well as its beauty, because on my left-hand side there's a large oak tree that has succumbed to the fierce breezes and winds that often batter this side of the valley. The root system on its side, along with the branches splaying out across this otherwise very green landscape. I could stand here and contemplate my surroundings for hours on end. I know that the top of the hill is calling me, so I better carry on and head towards the top of Guy's Cliff. Oh, I'm going to pause here a moment and catch my breath. This path up through the woods is really quite steep indeed. The boulders that we've just encountered, all encrusted with grass and moss, have now morphed into these huge crags which are looming over the Nid Valley below. I'd like to say that they had an excellent view, but they are being shrouded by the trees that are growing up around them and reaching towards the sky. Every now and then I get a tantalising glimpse of what lies beyond, but then it's shrouded again by the branches and the new life of the green spring growth. I'm sure in a few months' time, as summer really takes hold, that even those glimpses will be lost in and amongst a sea of greenery. As I make my way through these low-lying bilberry bushes, the breeze has definitely started to pick up, and for once I can see the sky for the trees. The wood is starting to thin out, and I've got a large dry stone wall on my left-hand side. Beyond it is naught more. And just above it, I've got a glimpse of a towering stone structure. I think we should cross through this wall. In fact, there is a gate just a little bit further on, which I'll take you through now. Venture out into the wilds of the moor and have an explore to see what this intriguing structure is. I've just sat down on a bench, which is extremely welcomed after that big steep climb up through Guyscliffe Wood. I've also got a rather impressive view of Nidderdale stretching out before me, and it's framed by two large stone pillars. These two pillars make up what is known as York's Folly, or known locally as Two Stoops. It was built in the 18th century by the York family, who also built the Druids' Temple further up in the national landscape of Nidderdale. The connecting piece that brought these two stoops together blew down in a storm in 1836, and ever since then it's just stood as these two pillars framing the valley below. It was built to resemble an east window of a church, so you can see the carved outline of what would have been an arch window. But it was never meant to be a church itself, it was just built, as the name suggests, as a folly. But wherever you are in Nidderdale, it's one of those key features of the landscape that sticks out like a sore thumb on top of the hill, letting you know exactly where you are. And it really does add a bit of drama and provenance to this view, not that it needs it, because it is pretty spectacular. Directly in front of me, I can see the town of Pateley Bridge, with a few coaches congregating in the car park, looking like little ants. And then as I look up, it almost looks like there's a shower passing through, as it looks quite hazy. You can't quite see the outline of Gowthwaite Reservoir, which is tantalisingly out of view just around the headland. It's topped off with the moors that are still glinting in the spring sunshine. There may even be a rainbow appearing soon if that shower continues. But it is a wonderful little spot just to contemplate the surroundings and revel in the history of the area. I think I'm going to pause here a little bit longer before I venture further out onto the moor and then consider heading back down the hill towards our base at Glasshouses. The landscape and the atmosphere have changed completely as we make our way along this desolate-looking moorland track. Because we haven't got much shelter apart from some low-lying heather and some small birch saplings, the breeze is really catching me as it whips across the moor. The shower that was passing through that we saw at York's Folly is acting now as a curtain across the valley. In front of me, the land is lit beautifully in sunshine, as it is behind the curtain of rain, but you've just got this line of mist which is hugging the valley as it travels down. It does look like it's heading in our direction, so maybe we should hurry up a little bit before it catches up with us. It was lovely to be in the shelter of those trees of the wood, but it's equally beautiful here as well, because you feel a little bit closer to the sky. And just like the sounds of the sheep and lambs in the valley below change to the woodland birds, we've now got the tittering of skylarks in the sky and the bark of jackdaws. Every so often I also hear the chattering sound of a grouse flapping through the heather. It's also the smell that's changed. In the wood we had that lovely woody earthy smell, and out here now it's turned to a peaty aroma, which is sweeter and a bit more delicate on the palate. I sound like I'm describing a fine wine now, so I better be quiet and enjoy the walk as I head back down towards Nort Bank. That shower looks like it's pressing on, so let's press on ourselves. Trust me, to get caught in a shower in probably the most exposed point of the walk. The rain passed through as quickly as it came, really. And now the curtain sits behind us, and the valley once again in front is bathed in sunshine. It is a typical April shower. I know I complain about getting caught in it and getting a little bit damp when I didn't think I was going to, but it's definitely added to the atmosphere and I wouldn't change it for the world. Well, as they say, what goes up must come down. And we're now heading back down Nortmoor Road into the valley of Nidderdale itself and our destination of Glasshouses from where we started this wonderful walk. Although I don't usually like walking down roads or along roads, I must admit it is quite nice to have something a little bit more solid under my feet rather than the bog of the moor. This really is a steep road, so we'll take it steady and make the most of the views as we start to descend. As we head back down into the valley towards Glasshouses, which is now well and truly back in sight, just ahead of us to our left, as I look to my right over the rolling fields that we've once again entered, I'm looking back at the magnificent spring glow of the trees of Guyscliff Wood and the looming dark rocks of the crags that sit above them. It's just bringing back some of the memories of what we've just encountered. It goes to show that wherever you are in any landscape, things change so quickly. From the rural farmland to the woods to the drama of the rocks to the bleakness of the moor, we've almost come in full circle. It's almost like a dream that some of the things that we've encountered along the way have actually happened. As I said, whilst we were walking through the wood, it was almost an enchanting fairy tale-like scene. And as I look back on it now from the position we're in, it very much feels like that. Anyway, I'm going to head back across this quite boggy field, actually, back towards Glasshouses and the end of our walk today. I do hope you've enjoyed joining me on this latest audio walk from Open Country. If you have, then please check out more of our audio walks at opencountry.org.uk, and you can also find out more about what we do as a charity, and also find out how to donate. But until the next audio walk, I'd like to thank you once again for listening. I look forward to speaking to you again in the not-too-distant future.